Right. Hey, how are you doing? Welcome to Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Omni. To those who are listening to me, hello, welcome back. I know it's been 2 weeks. And to those on YouTube who can probably see me, we thought we would treat you. Now, for those who can't see me, I'm actually in my room. And, you know, in the interest of showing people behind the scenes, I thought I would show you, I guess, what my room looks like. In an odd way, the podcast actually began in my room many months ago now. So in some ways, it's nice to be back. It feels like one of those kind of, you know, going back to where you started from type of videos. But we are back with another podcast. It's been difficult recording because one of the biggest debates we've been having in the team is we don't want to have put out a podcast that pretty much parrots everything you get in the mainstream media. Like, what's the point? Why would you click on this to listen to me rattle on for 30 minutes about the coronavirus? I mean, come on, you're kind of inundated with that. So we thought we would do something different and I would cover different stories, or at least give you a chance to see things that the mainstream media aren't covering, or perhaps stories that aren't getting lots of coverage, but also to give you a bit more information, I guess, about what we're doing, how we're coping with this, and things of that nature. So welcome to this lovely episode. If you haven't done so, do subscribe, like, you know, I think you clicked a button somewhere that allows you to get updates from us. So if you haven't done that, please do so. This is Let's Talk Common Sense. It's a podcast where we try and make sense of the week's news and current affairs in a very kind of straight talking way. And also you get a chance to hear from different people. Now, unfortunately, for the time being, you're hearing from me. But I do hope in the future more people will join us. This podcast is brought to you by the Common Sense Network, which you can check out at tcsnetwork.co.uk. It's an independent news network that creates spaces for people who don't see eye to eye to learn from each other, essentially. And folks, we have a cracker for you today. It's going to be a good day. We're starting with something quite sad. Well, it's not sad, but it was shocking. And unfortunately, it's due with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, you know how I feel about this. You can listen to previous podcasts. I remember one podcast, I think it's called The Meghan Markle Debacle, which is just a line I'm super proud of, which you can check out, which kind of details our thoughts about the royal couple or the ex-royal couple. But they're in the news again because as of yesterday, they wrote a letter. They love these dramatic letters. They put on their Instagram, they put on their website, and everyone talks about it. But they sent another letter just Sunday evening, essentially announcing that they are cutting off four major UK tabloids. So boring. But I guess it is interesting somewhat. So I guess I'll give you a general overview or flavor. This is a bit too high. I think my mic is a bit too high. I'll give you a general overview or flavor of what their letter contains. Essentially, they're telling us that their communications team will no longer engage with The Mail, The Sun, The Mirror, and The Express. This is sad for The Mirror because The Mirror is on the ropes already. But essentially, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Prince Harry, are cutting off all those tabloids I spoke to you about because essentially, and this is a quote from them, they no longer want to offer themselves up as currency for an economy of clickbait and distortion. Now, that's something I was like, yes! And here my bias was a bit tested because I'm not a royalist at all, but I do agree with this. I mean, the idea that these four major tabloids for a long time now have been profiting of clickbait, it's so good to hear someone finally speaking directly to them. I'll read you some more parts from the statement. They said that there will be no more corroboration and zero engagement. They said that their communications team in the US and the UK will be implementing this new policy. Now, we all know they stepped back from royal work on April the 1st, and they've often said, and Meghan has often said, that her treatment in the mainstream press was intense, was unfair. That's something that I think most people agree with. I mean, I remember those headlines. You would have seen it of, like, you know, Princess Kate eating avocados, and people go, oh, look at that, what a lovely avocado. And when Meghan Markle has it, they're like, when Meghan Markle's obsession with avocados has killing children in Africa. And you go, whoa. They're both doing the same thing. So I don't think anyone's going to debate that she's been treated unfairly. But this is going to come a bit as a shock. I mean, they did kind of temper it a bit by letting us know that this is not necessarily about every single media outlet in the country, but as it pertains to those four named, that they will no longer be engaging with them. Now, here's what they said, and I think someone like Piers Morgan may want to listen to this with particular interest, because they said that the policy is not about avoiding criticism. It's not about shutting down public conversation or censoring accurate reporting. They said the media has every right to report on and indeed have an opinion on the Duke and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, whether it's good or bad, but it cannot be based on a lie. And this is where I went, come on, that's so true. It cannot be. You cannot just lie to get people to click. I mean, think about it this way. You know, how can a media outlet that's independent, that's trying to serve the community, compete with a media outlet that just makes up their own reality for clickbait? I mean, you can't do that. You just can't do that. They also said that it's gravely concerning that an influential slice of the media over many years has sought to insulate themselves from taking accountability for what they say or print, even when they know it's distorted, it's false, or invasive beyond reason. They said, when power is enjoyed without responsibility, the trust we all place in this much needed industry is degraded. They are absolutely right. This is why, I hate to make this about us, but this is why the Common Sense Network exists. It's because the UK, for 4 years in the row in Europe, has the least trusted media system. We in the Eurobarometer, we rank last out of every single news media outlet in Europe. People do not trust the mainstream media. And that's a problem, because if we don't have a resilient media, it's the same argument we make about the opposition. Now, if the opposition's weak, then democracy crumbles. Well, equally, if the media is weak or untrustworthy, where do you go to for your information? Well, you're going to go to like random bloggers who say all sorts of stuff online, who have no accountability as well. So we need a strong media. That's why we exist. And I'm so glad they're saying this, because it's so important. I mean, we are related in somewhat because one of our friends and partners is the Queen's Commonwealth Trust. They recently did an article about the Common Sense Network, and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are the presidents of the Queen's Commonwealth Trust. So you know, I'm not saying we're in bed together or anything like that, but you know, I'm glad they're saying this, because this is very much what we've been saying for a long time. And you know, it's one of the good things that's been said by them that I agree with, and I'm in absolute full support of. Now, I mentioned Piers Morgan earlier, and I want to move on to another story. You know, this is a podcast of firsts. I've started one by agreeing with the Duke and Sussex, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, which is just crazy. And now I think I'm on the government side. You would have seen, I think it was April the 14th, where Matt Hancock, who is the health secretary, went on Good Morning Britain to have a conversation with Piers Morgan. And they were going back and forth about the government's preparedness. And he was just trying to, I guess, grill Matt Hancock. And for the first time in a long time, I think Matt Hancock rightly put Piers Morgan in his place. One of the biggest issues we've had with the coronavirus coverage is the media. And I spoke about it in the podcast 2 weeks ago. The media have this obsession on one part with definitely, you know, bringing people up to speed, helping them know what's going on, but also trying to get as many clicks on their site as possible. And unfortunately, those two things are kind of opposed, because if you're trying to get clicks and you're trying to get people on your site, you're trying to get people to engage with your content, it's gonna affect the degree to which you're judicial about what you're reporting. Sometimes you're gonna try and, you know, say things or jazz things up or try and make things super interesting or salacious so people click on it. And for that reason, someone like Piers Morgan, who has a history in the tabloid, seems to be after sound bites and little kind of, you know, arguments on, just to drive up ratings. I know this because every single time he has an argument with somebody on his show, Good Morning Britain, he goes online and talks about the ratings after, Which is just so sad because it shows you that what he's interested in is spectacle for the sake of ratings. Why is this important? Well, we've got a national emergency on our hand. And Matthew Hancock, who I'm not connected to in any way, goes on this show in an attempt to explain to the government what's going on. Sorry, explain to the public what's going on. And all news media outlets want to do is, when are we leaving? What's the exit strategy? What? And it's like, hold on. You first accused us of giving you conflicting information before, and now you want us to right now give you information about when we're leaving when we haven't even fully agreed yet. It just makes no sense. It was quite interesting because in the show you had classic Morgan talking over Matt. I mean really, you have to go watch it. Go on YouTube, type in Piers Morgan and Matthew Hancock, and you can watch the exchange. But I just watched it thinking, Piers, just let your guests speak. I mean, I have friends who've been on that show, and they tell me what it's like and stuff like that. But I've always just been perplexed by it. Like, why would you introduce someone on your show just so you can talk over them? I mean, it makes no sense. If I ever had the opportunity to go on that show, I think I probably would be like, "Well, Piers, do you want to talk to yourself? Because you might as well do that. Like, if you're not going to listen to me, just talk to yourself." And Matt Hancock said something like that. It was quite funny. He was like, "You won't interrupt me." And Piers Morgan was like, "I will do what I want, And going back and forth. But it was really quite interesting. But again, it buttresses that point that the mainstream media, unfortunately, I think they're not handling this well. There are some that are doing well. I think the Telegraph is doing okay. The Times are okay. But some tabloids just want to get clicks, want to get you feeling anxious, and you can tell in how they're reporting. It's a real shame. It's a real shame because this is when you want all these different outlets to pull together to serve the community or to serve the public, and they're not quite doing that. Now, in the podcast as well, he spoke about Prime Minister Jacinda and what was happening in New Zealand. And what's happening there is that Matthew Hancock, what's happening there is she's taken a 20% pay cut to kind of stand in solidarity with people who essentially are struggling as well. And then he kind of tried to do a gotcha question, I guess, when he asked Matt Hancock on his show, Piers Morgan, saying, "Oh, well, you know, are you going to take 20% as well?" And he just said, "Well, no, we're not going to do that." And then he tried to make a big deal out of it. "Oh, how come they're doing it, but you're not?" And it's like, well, we're just not taking it. I mean, get over it. We don't want to take a 20% pay cut. There's other ways to show solidarity. There's other ways to, you know, to stand up for NHS workers. I mean, he has no clue what they do privately. This idea that you have to do this and this is the morally right thing to do, it speaks to that kind of leftist moral purity testing that Piers Morgan actually rose on about. Let people do what they want to do with their private practice, private money, private domain. What we expect from these guys in an unprecedented situation like this is that they work as hard as they possibly can. And that's what Matt Hancock said. He said, we're going to every hour God gives us, we're going to work. And I have no doubt they're doing so, because some of them look like a mess. You can just tell they are working. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, we'll move on to something a bit more exciting, which is our exit strategy. People have been asking me a lot. I've been asking journalists I know, MPs. I've texted a couple of MPs. I've also spoken to members of the House of Lords as well about when we are going to leave. And you know, the Telegraph reported something from UCL economists who have this a traffic light system they've devised. Now, Michael Gove has denied this traffic light system, but every expert seems to suggest it's probably what's going to be used. And what the traffic light system essentially means is, you know, that we're going to slowly start to take adaptive measures from about May the 4th. We know that May the 4th is when there's going to be another big review where they'll decide whether to relax the lockdown. And essentially what it looks like is going to happen is, first it will be red, right? And red essentially means that small shop will start opening with the same social distancing policies as supermarkets. And and, you know, low risk activities such things like beauty salons or hairdressers can start, but obviously with people still wearing masks. And then we can reopen parks and private green spaces like golf clubs and stuff like that. And that first phase would be known as the red phase, essentially. And that's what people think will probably happen on May the 4th, is those kind of small offices, small places where there aren't lots of people. Now, for those who are thinking, well, what about mass gatherings? What about, you know, church places of worship like churches and mosques and things like that? Well, these UCL economists are saying that would be in the green phase. That would be the last phase, because if you open places of worship, you have to open mass gatherings, because unfortunately, some places of worship are thousands of people, you know, and if that's open, that's akin to having like a small concert, essentially. So those will be in the latter stages of the lockdown measures. So that might be at the end of May or potentially at the end of June that we see things like that open. All in all, it seems as though the curve is flattening. The R0 value, which is the amount of people infected by one person who has coronavirus, is going down. And so it seems as though we are doing well. This measure is working. Away from all, even though we get all sorts of different messages on WhatsApp from different people and all these kind of broadcast messages, it seems as though we are doing okay. And we have reason to continue social distancing, staying at home, because if we all do that, the chances that we're actually going to come out of this thing faster just increases. And that's the good news, so to speak. Well, folks, I've enjoyed speaking to us today. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to share this podcast with somebody. The hashtag is LTCS. Please do share it. If you've listened this far, then I appreciate you greatly, and we really do. Thank you for standing with us even during our inconsistency as we figure out what's happening and how this is going to affect us. I'm glad to announce that we're in a much better place organizationally. People are starting to get settled from working from home, and people are, you know, balancing their personal lives and things like that. It's very difficult, and we want to be very sensitive. So we're good, and thank you so much for all the well wishes. If you're a listener of this podcast, please share it. We would love to know who's listening. So share it on Instagram, share it on Snapchat, share it on Twitter. Just press the share button and tag us as well. We are TCS Network. If you tag us, we can see who's listening. And we hope this is in some way making your life better, helping you make sense of the week, and just helping you calm down a bit, because I know anxiety is very high right now. So thank you for listening again. And I shall see you or listen to you or hear you, however you sign out, in the next one. Right, folks, take care.